There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. We're doing a flip-flop, folks. We're flipping this week's topic with next week's topic, and next week's topic is going to be this week's topic. So you'll hear us talk about apocalyptic films in episode 4. And in this episode, we're going to be counting down our top 10 Batman actors. This can be live action, animation, video game, whatever you want to call it. Anyone who has played the role of Batman in a major way throughout the last 80 years. This is not counting comic book storylines or anything like that. This is just on television or in like promo videos and that kind of stuff, movies, cartoons, like I said. I also want to say that Steve and I's lists will often change depending on our mood. So this top 10 list is current for this episode, for how we listed them for this episode.
Yes.
And hopefully because the only way we can get the Joker into a top 10 Batman episode list is if he actually does some math and counts the numbers.
Counting? How dare you, sir?
Just think of it as a bunch of Captain Clowns.
He killed Captain Clown.
That's right. And this is going to be Studio 2009's first top 10 list. We're probably only going to do top 10s because I feel anything less than that is just not enough. Anything more than that is too
bad
much.
Bad comedy.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Comedy Night with the Joker. Nothing but crying laughter.
Yeah, funny guy.
I know, right? So, do you have anything you would like to bring up or say before we get into our lists, sir? Now, I also want to say before you answer, I also want to say that we have not, unless Steve is looking at the our Studio 2009 behind-the-scenes document on Google Docs, we have not seen each other's lists, so it's going to be a complete surprise who shows up where on each other's lists. Any thoughts before we get to number 10, sir?
Well, being that I had to remind you that there was another Batman before we got on this call.
Yes.
It will be quite entertaining to see how this rolls.
Oh, it's going to roll. All right, Joker, take it away.
Number 10.
Number 10 for me is from 2004's The Batman, Reno Romano. The reason why I like Reno is because at that time... Wait, was it 2004?
Yeah.
It was, because Justice League ended in 2001. I'm mixing things up here, folks. Yes, 2004. The reason why I like him is because we had so many years of Kevin Conroy, and I absolutely love Kevin Conroy, obviously. We all do. Because The Batman was a completely different show, different style, different stories, I think the voice that Reno used for it really worked. And I felt that as the show progressed, he grew into the role as both Batman and Bruce, even though he didn't really do a vocal change for each of the characters.
I could see that a little.
Yeah.
That wasn't, to be honest, one of my favorite series.
It has its moments.
It does have its moments, I'll give you that. I don't think, like, and I totally missed the tail end of it, but I know that that's when it got better.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anything else, my number 10 is Anthony Ruvivier or something. I butchered the name, I'm sure. Anyways, he played in Beware the Batman. Which surprisingly wasn't like when it first started, I was very like apprehensive and like kind of cranky about it because I was like, no, it needs to be Kevin Conroy. But it was like the first CG Batman series that we'd gotten,
right,
which was different. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot because the most we've gotten are animated in various forms, whether it's the 66 Batman or the Batman the Animated Series or Brave and the Bold or, you know, some of the other ones. And so when this came, I was very excited to see what they did with it because not only did they not focus on any of Batman's main rogue gallery, they hit his secondary rogue gallery, which was a little bit different and interesting how they portrayed that and took that on. But no, I mean, I liked the rendition, and I think that he pulled the character off pretty well. It's the only voice that this actor has done. I'm trying to... what is it he's been in other than that? You might recognize him from, he's been in Third Watch, it looks like, and he's been on some, like, other stuff. He looks familiar, like, I want to say he's, like, been in some cop procedural somewhere.
Yeah, he's probably, and this is not a knock against him at all, I say this about any actor who does this kind of stuff.
He was in Frequency.
Oh!
He played Stan Marino in the series.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, that.
Yeah. He was also on a couple of the NCIS stuff. And
Yeah. Like I was going to say before you brought up Frequency, I don't mean I say this about any actor who does this kind of stuff. And I understand there are certain actors that do this. He's one of those actors that just, you know, shows up on various shows for one or two episodes kind of thing. So, yeah, very cool.
It's funny. I found a empty slot in Behind the Voice Actors. Because looking at his IMDb, there's quite a bit there.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's my my number 10.
All right, Joker, what's next?
Number 9.
For me, I gotta wear hockey pads.
Oh, you're going with Bale?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I liked his Bruce Wayne. I think there was just too much of it in Batman Begins. I wanted more, like, his origin to me, because I've already known, I'm not, you know, someone on the street who doesn't know a damn thing about Batman. His origin story in Batman Begins, I think, should have been, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Not the whole movie?
Not the whole movie, exactly. Yeah, whereas the last 20 minutes is we finally get as Batman. But for me, even though he ended up with a lot of gravel in his throat throughout the last two films, I still love him in The Dark Knight. I love the way he played Bruce. I love the way he did the whole figuring. Him up against Heath Ledger's Joker was really, really cool. And I don't think in 2008 there was another live-action actor that could have pulled it off as well as he did.
That was probably my favorite of the three films. Not only visually, but in tone and story.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a... I hear the Batmobile going down the street.
That's actually the Bat Cycle.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I actually liked that one movie. The first one, I was kind of meh, so-so on, and then the last one, I was kind of meh. But that one, I used that one for a while to kind of test out options and features on my Blu-ray player and my TV.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, my number 9, Batfleck.
You're going with Batfleck.
Yes. For a number of reasons. Not only is it the basis of what started Altered Geek as a podcast, I had the name and I had it created before as a video show, but didn't go very far beyond that. But for the podcast, myself and Mike Booth Ninja Powers, we successfully had figured out what, or given our opinion of what we thought the Batsuit should look like in the Batman for that live action rendition. The beautiful thing is we were right.
Yes,
we wanted the Batman, I forget what that stupid comic is called, but, they made a film out of it, a two-parter.
Dark Knight Returns?
Yes, I think Dark Knight Returns, yeah. And so they had the bat symbol from that. They had the gray suit, like we were wanting. We wanted, you know, the black cowl with the gray suit and, you know, the shorter ears and more of a defined Batman. And we got that. Like, we got more real muscle, less of battle armor. And so I was really, really happy to see how that came out. How we predicted it, and it all was like, ta-da! I didn't really like when it was in Batman v Superman, where they had him in the almost basically black all the way down.
Yeah.
But in Justice League, he had the two-tone. But it was still the suit that I was looking for, and so I was quite happy with that. The Batmobile had kind of a nice twist between, like, the Tumblr and the animated series almost kind of mixed in there, with a little bit of the 89, which is kind of, again, something we kind of predicted. And we were like, yeah, it'd be nice to also see him in the Bat armor, and lo and behold, like, everything we predicted, and we were like, oh, it's great, showed up. But I don't feel like he got enough time to actually breathe at it. I really liked his Bruce Wayne because, although it's very much like Ben Affleck, he has that look of the BTAS Batman and Bruce Wayne in a lot of ways, in a lot of his persona, and
yeah,
kind of darkens his voice when he goes to Batman, but he's kind of like cavalier and like, I don't really care when he's as Bruce Wayne. And so I'm quite disappointed we're not getting a series out of him.
Yeah.
Although I've heard weird rumors that WB's like, we want you back, Batfleck. which is humorous to me if they're going to go both directions. Because I've also heard that Cavill's back on the table again for...
Yeah, I've seen those rumors.
So I'm wondering if, you know, things are going to go better. Honestly, I would love to see a different rendition, but I'll get into that later. But I was thankful for the time we got with him, although it was quite short.
Yeah, I think he did Bruce Wayne better than he did Batman.
I'll agree.
Yeah.
It's hard to get Batman, honestly. And
some people get it and some people don't.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Bale really did it. He was more of like, I don't wear rocky pads. It was like, it was almost like Bane in that third movie. Like, it's so hard to understand.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was thankful I at least had a Batman that could talk.
Absolutely.
So.
Okay, Mr. J, take us on to the next one.
Oh boy, it's number 8.
For me, I am going to be making a National Treasure and Star Trek reference.
I know who you're talking about. Bruce Greenwood.
Bruce Greenwood played Batman in Under the Red Hood, Gotham by Gaslight, and he played him in Young Justice.
Yep.
I really dug. I love Bruce Greenwood's voice. There's one film of his that I saw that I just like. It's when I latched onto him. It was before Star Trek. It was before National Treasure. It was I was actually two films. Double Jeopardy with him and Ashley Judd, and then he was Lawrence Robertson in iRobot.
Oh wow!
He was the guy that got killed in iRobot with Will Smith. So ever since I saw those, there are certain actors that just have a voice that you just latch onto, and I latched onto it, and I loved what he did with Batman and everything Batman that he did.
Well, and he's also a great actor, which also helps.
Absolutely. He's a very, very good actor.
Yeah, and he's been in quite a few things. He usually either plays kind of the sympathetic character, or he plays like the villain, or he plays a lot of variety of roles, but I think people would most recognize him from National Treasure 2 and the Star Trek films as of late.
Also, if anyone watches the Fox series The Resident, he has been Randolph Bell on that for 57 episodes for the last 2 years.
Nice.
So, yeah. All right, what do you got?
Roger Craig Smith.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Who plays a pretty good... he plays a pretty good Batman, but it's also kind of a... He channels Kevin Conroy in a lot of ways. Specifically because the first time I heard him take on the role was in Batman Arkham Origins. Which was the only Batman Arkham game that didn't have Kevin Conroy, but that was because it was also produced by... WB Canada Game yep. Studios instead of Rocksteady. And I think he pulled it off pretty well. I didn't loathe the voice, and I kind of enjoyed it the more I heard it in the game. And it kind of had that Kevin Conroy feel, but younger. So it really fit with that. But he's also played the character in the Batman Unlimited films. I feel like he's done a pretty good job taking on the mantle of the Bat. Overall,
he has very much so. All right, moving on, Mr. J.
It's number 7. Lucky number 7.
That's right. And we gotta go. At least I gotta go with someone who will be Batman forever.
No.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Val Kilmer.
Boo.
I like, oh, come on.
Boo. Okay, I'm done.
I liked Val. I thought it was...
He was better than Clooney, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and that guy's nowhere on my list.
Yeah, neither mine.
Yeah. Val was interesting because Batman Forever, people can say what they want about Joel Schumacher and everything else, but Batman Forever still, to me, regardless of how much I enjoyed it, regardless of how much, when that movie came out, 95, my 15-year-old brain, heart, and other body parts had a crush on Nicole Kidman at the time because of that movie. Val Kilmer as Batman and Bruce Wayne, he did Batman a little bit more subtly. But he really pulled, he didn't pull any punches with the Bruce part because it was, I don't want to say it was an origin story for Batman, but you look at Batman 89, we kind of got sort of how Martha and Thomas got murdered. But in Forever, we get what happened to Bruce and how he discovered the cave. And I thought that Val had done a really good job with that aspect of it.
Well, and you also got the Dick Grayson introduced.
Christopher O'Donnell. Yes.
Well, for the first time ever having that in the films, and then or since. I find it funny that him and Alfred were the only carryovers from Batman Forever to Batman and Robin. No, I liked it because I liked Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey. although I didn't much care for the portrayals of either, but I did like seeing them in it, and apparently the
another bad cycle outside.
Yes, apparently the two did butt heads though during the movie, so not surprising. But yeah, I mean, it's these films unfortunately have aged poorly. on a whole, but. Yeah, I mean, you could do worse, but that's still pretty close to the bottom as far as...
See, I don't think so. Okay, Batman and Robin, you know, whatever. I don't really care that much. I mean, I like it, I enjoy it, but it's not... It's too comic booky, whereas Batman Forever is super 90s comic book, but it also, like I said, has that serious part to it. And... I don't know. I just felt like the biggest comic book parts of Batman Forever were Riddler and Two-Face, you know, because than a god am I. Anyway, moving on, Mr. J. Oh, no, wait, did you give yours for number 7?
No, crap. I did not.
I always forget these things. Sorry.
You're going to be, like, all whiny about it and stuff.
No.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't.
Diedrich Bader. And I say this because, although you may not care for his portrayal in The Brave and the Bold, he does play the character really well. And the show, for what it is very entertaining. And it's actually one of the few that my kids actually got into when I was getting those DVDs for review.
Right.
It's because I was just like, okay, you can watch this. Because it's pretty light. Not as campy as like the 60s stuff, but it's got a little bit of the CG aspect, but a lot of the animation, but a lot of lighter colors. And so it's not as dark.
Right.
And so it's still kind of kid friendly, but it overall, I didn't mind it. And I think that he pulled it off, and he must've done well enough with that, because that's why he's back in the Harley Quinn series as Batman. Although I have not heard him in the role.
I was trying to find YouTube videos, cause I was about to get a DC Universe free trial, cause I haven't done that yet. Just to watch him in the Harley Quinn series. And I know everyone's raving about the Harley Quinn series, so I'll check it out at some point. I've managed to see at least one YouTube clip where he's in it, and the YouTube clip that they showed where he was just grunting. He wasn't really like she was, Harley was talking, and his answers were,
well,
but it's a complete departure from The Brave and the Bold. It's a much darker Batman. And I'll say this mainly for our listeners who are new, because this show is new. My biggest problem with Diedrich Bader as Batman always was not the fact that he was a bad voice for Batman. It was because the only place I knew him from before that was as Oswald on the Drew Carey Show. So having an actor be a comedy character and then go from that to being Batman, I was like, fucking Oswald. But I've come to sense, respect what he did for it, even though Brave and the Bold is not my, the Silver Age is not my target demographic, I don't think, because obviously I wasn't born then.
I can see anyway. That. I think that's moving on time.
Yes.
Let's have it, Joker.
It's time for number 6.
Who's your favorite Batman at number 6, Joker?
I'll give you number 6.
You can go first this time, so I don't forget.
Adam West. And I say Adam West because he's kind of the definitive, even though there were two before him, he's kind of the definitive, like, 60s through 70s through 80s Batman until Keaton took the role.
Yep.
So I loved hearing him. I mean, I know there were other voice actors too, but I liked when he was in the Scooby-Doo stuff. I liked him when he was in the Justice Friends and, all these other different programs that were on. Throughout that time span, plus the 60s show, it's still one of my favorite portrayals of live action of Batman without having to get a little too crazy on it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Plus so he did the animated stuff before he died.
Yes, he did do the two new animated films before he passed away. Interesting, and I'll talk about this in a moment when we get to my choice at number 5 later on, but interesting note, he did not voice Batman in the cartoons in the 60s.
Walker?
In the 70s. No, it was a guy named Olan Sewell. Because you're thinking of Super Friends and all of that. I thought for the longest time it was also Adam West with Casey Kasem as Robin. It's not. It's a guy named Olan Sewell. Anyway.
Interesting. No, yeah. Well, he played it. He didn't do it in the Super Friends, but he did the New Adventures of Batman.
Did he?
Yes. He was in the New Adventures of Batman 77 TV show. You are right about Olan Sewell, though, with the rest of them. But he also did the legendary Superpowers show. Superpowers team, Galactic Guardians. But yeah, Olan Sewell had pretty good run on a lot of the old stuff, too.
Yep. All right, for my choice. It's a Turtles connection, folks. That's right. Mr. Lego himself, Will Arnett.
Ah.
Lego Batman. I was not sure what I was going to feel about Will Arnett as the voice of Batman, but once I heard it and once I saw what Lego Batman was doing in the film, I was like, oh yeah, this really rules.
It's funny because he's one of my favorites as well. Not because of the Lego movies, because honestly, I thought they were garbage. And the Lego Batman movie. I didn't really care for that Batman either, but I did like his portrayal, like his voice, and I liked how he portrayed it. And then you had Batman with all the different uniforms and everything else. But I think he's still a pretty solid Batman, especially since he's taken on the Lego role itself as the primary. Like, he's not played any other Batman other than the Lego, but that's perfect and fine.
Yep. All right, Joker, I think we can move on to the next one.
It's time for number 5.
For me, it's a tie. And I'm usually the one that hates when people do this, but I have to do this because it's the only way I can fit both of them in. Adam West and Olan Sewell. I grew up as a kid in the 80s watching the Adam West 66 show reruns on TV. And until Michael Keaton came along, Adam West was my Batman. So much so that I thought all of the 70s and 80s animation was him. Until I think about 5 or 10 years ago, somebody set me straight and said it was also Olan Sewell. Now, I've watched several different clips of Olan Sewell's voice with Casey Kasem as Robin, and I just feel that Olan's voice suits the 70s animated Batman just a little bit more than Adam West. But Adam, in the Batman television show and in the 60s, you know, Batman's the movie, Adam West was, you know, a classic actor. And the way that he was able to, more so in the feature film after the first season of the TV series, the way he was able to play Bruce Wayne, the way he was able to add more to the character. You know, people always say that, you know, oh, 66 Batman, that's nothing but camp and fun and blah, blah, blah. Have any of you read the 60s runs of Batman lately, or the 50s and 60s and 70s runs of Batman comics lately? Because it was all crazy, wacky stuff. So it wasn't that dark, at least I don't think it was. But that's my choice for this entry. What about you, sir? Number 5 for you.
Will Arnett. Yeah. So I've already said my piece.
Yep. Yeah, we did not look at each other's list, folks. And it's funny because as we've been recording this episode, my list has actually moved a few things around as it's gone on. Nothing has actually changed, but I had to move a few numbers. All right, Mr. J, what's next?
Well, it's time for number 4.
So I found a way to get Dick Grayson in here as Batman. Now I'm hoping I can embed or at least link to the Twitter post. Kyle Higgins, Nightwing writer for DC. He's done a bunch of other things. He worked on Power Rangers for Boom Studios. He's got a bunch of creator owned stuff that he does. Years ago, he worked on a series called Batman Gates of Gotham. Well, in this, Dick Grayson was Batman. he put together an animated promo preview thing and got several voice actor friends to voice the characters. Lauren Lester voiced Dick Grayson Batman because, hello, Lauren Lester was always Dick Grayson. So, yeah, I love hearing Lauren say the lines from Gates of Gotham. It's so good. What about you, sir?
My number four is Bruce Greenwood. Funny enough. So, I mean, I don't really have to say too much about him because, like, we kind of already got the gist of it. Like, we both really like the actor. He's really good.
Yeah.
And obviously the first time we heard him was Red Hood, but I think he's done a pretty solid job so far. And I think that, I wouldn't be disappointed if he kept doing it. That's, I guess, where I'm trying to go with this.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's my number four.
All righty then.
It's time for number three.
For me, it's the original Dark Knight from 1989, Michael Keaton.
Of course it would be.
I liked what Michael Keaton did with Bruce Wayne in the 89 film. Batman Returns has never really been one of my favorites. Not because of him, but just because the overall film.
I don't like that film.
I wish he had a better shot at it, you know, but sadly he didn't. But yeah, that's, I just, in that 89 film, you know, we hadn't seen anything up to that point. We hadn't seen a dark Batman on screen. So we didn't know what the heck we were going to get into with it. And I think he gave both a really great portrayal as Batman and as Bruce, because while he didn't really change his voice for Bruce and Batman, there is a little bit of a tonal change throughout. For me, the best part of that movie is when you see Bruce Wayne crack. He's like, "You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts."
I love Keaton in pretty much anything he's in.
Yep.
And it's funny because he still refers to himself as the Batman. He is very much the epitome of what the Kevin Conroy Batman is in, like, Batman Beyond. He's like, mm-hmm. He's like, "But I wasn't being called by my real name." And then he's mm-hmm. like, "What is it?" "Oh, yeah, I get it." Of course you would.
Yep.
You know? And so, and that's how I feel Keaton is, because he's kind of the one that set this whole, like, superhero thing in motion. I mean, I know Reeve did it before him in the film universe, but Keaton was pretty much the first dark entry that we got.
Yep.
With more of a gravitas and more of a budget thrown behind it. And it kind of set in motion all of the stuff we got in the 90s and all the stuff we got in the 2000s, and kind of was the precursor to it all. And although he didn't continue with the role beyond Returns, we did get a nice portrayal out of him, and I loved the black suit.
Yep.
And I had, like, all the toys when it came out. But
no,
I was just excited that he was a part of that. And I think before that everybody was like, "Oh, he's gonna suck because he's a comedy actor, blah 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 blah," and I just thought it was humorous because he can pull off dark roles really, really well.
Yeah, he can. The funny thing is, I recently saw, because we live in the times we live in currently, most high school graduations are kind of canceled,
mm-hmm.
or they're doing these graduation things from home. I saw a video on Facebook where
he did a commencement speech.
He did the commencement speech and he goes, "I just got two words for you. I'm Batman." Yeah. I was like, oh, hell yes.
And he does it on talk shows too, or he's done it on Saturday Night Live. Like, I guess he took all the Saturday Night Live cast out to dinner, like Bruce Wayne would. And when he hosted the one time, and he's like, "I'm Batman." Like, I don't know. I just think that's really cool that he embraces it and he still loves it. But I really want to see him come back and play Bruce Wayne in a Batman Beyond movie.
Yeah,
because I honestly, like, I've been pushing for that concept since like the early 2000s, like ever since like Batman Beyond came out. I saw him, and I saw somebody photoshopped him as old man Bruce, and then they had, at the time, it was like the guy that played, he was in Heroes, he was like the guy that could take on any power to begin with. That Milo Ventimiglia or something like that. They had him as like Terry McGinnis to begin with, but obviously they'd have to cast younger now. But yeah, I would love to see Keaton take on the Batman role, especially since he still embraces it and he's about the age that he could play the old man Bruce pretty believably.
Yep. Absolutely.
So speaking of old man Bruce, my number three is Will Friedle.
He's young man Terry.
Yes, he is young man Terry. I like the actor since he was in Boy Meets World, and I feel like it's really fitting that he got to play kind of a darkened character, very serious compared to his character in Boy Meets World of Eric, where he started out pretty decent and then he became like pretty much an airhead by the end of the series. You know, talks with squirrels.
You could say he became a prophet.
Yeah, talks with squirrels. And had his own, like, he won his own island or something as governor or mayor or something. I don't know. Anyways, I really like his portrayal. I think that he did a pretty solid job, and I like that anytime they bring back, like, the Batman Beyond character, he gets to play it. Plus, he's also played in a couple of the other ones is like Nightwing or a Green Lantern. So,
yep. Yeah, that's very cool. All right. What's next, Mr. J?
Oh, we're going to get nuts here with number two.
For me, everything you just said, Will Friedle. I almost left him off the list, though.
Yeah, I reminded you before.
I was thinking about it before you even said it, and I was looking at my list, and I'm like, oh, shit, you're right. He's not there. What's going on here? So, but yes, absolutely. Will Friedle as Batman, as Terry McGinnis Batman. What I love about Batman Beyond is he has to learn all of that legacy, and he has to learn his own way to be able to do it. And every time I read a Batman Beyond comic, unless it's a, like, for a while in like 2015, Tim Drake was Batman Beyond. It's a whole storyline thing, whatever. But as long as it's always Terry in the suit in Batman Beyond, I always hear Will's voice in my head when, you know, I hear, you know, Batman Beyond, and he's just a really great actor, voice actor, live action actor. It's just so fun seeing him. And he was also Ron Stoppable in Kim Possible.
So there's always a plus with Will Friedle.
Exactly. Who is your entry at this level?
Michael Keaton. For all the reasons I already listed, so
exactly.
So I don't have to go any more in depth.
Exactly. He's so good. All right, Mr. J, take us to the next or the final number.
The final one? Well, this guy's been a pain in my side. He killed Captain Clown, and, well, I just wouldn't be anywhere without him. Because he's the Batman.
No, you should get it right. And we should put this clip right here.
This is Kevin Conroy. And I am the goddamn Batman.
He's that Batman. So yes, even though We have not seen each other's lists, folks. It was, if you've heard us on podcasts in the last 11 years, for both of us to not put Kevin Conroy at number one,
it would be a travesty.
Yes. And the greatest thing is that he finally got to play live action Bruce Wayne.
Although, sadly enough, I wasn't completely happy with the...
I wish it was different too, but I'm just happy to
see him. I'm happy he got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But Kevin Conroy is the ultimate voice for Batman. He really, really is. I don't know how anyone can argue against that, because Kevin Conroy did something to that point that no one else had done. He gave Batman and Bruce Wayne their own individual character voices. It wasn't just the same voice for each side of the character. Bruce Wayne is soft-spoken kind of in the show, whereas Batman is more deep and dark. And as he progressed through the DC universe, DC animated universe, it got even darker as time goes on. I think one of my favorite lines is from Justice, one of the Justice League Unlimited episodes, I believe, from the Dr. Destiny episode, where he's like, "It's not a good thing to be inside my brain. It's not a good place to be," kind of. I love that line. And
well, because he drives them nuts.
Yep.
Like, they just can't fathom how this guy is functional. Like, because they're like, he's batty. Mm-hmm. Literally. Like, they're like, I don't even know.
And Kevin Conroy has been playing the voice of Bruce Wayne and Batman for 25 years now? 26?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 20... easy. He's been playing since 92.
Yeah.
Yeah, which... 92. Yeah.
He's... 28, almost 30 years. Almost 28 30 years. Oh, my God. I mean, whenever they approach him to play Batman, sometimes it's a different way of playing it. Like, the way he sounds in the Arkham games that he's in, yes, it's his Bruce Wayne and Batman, but it's also different than what he did in the animated series. It's also a little different than what he obviously did in Batman Beyond, because that was a much older voice. And I just love that he approaches it the way that he does.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, he's by far
the best definitive Batman that we've ever gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I honestly just love the portrayal.
Yeah, me too. I only wish I only wish we could have more Conroy Hamill adventures with the two of them. Because before Darwin Cook passed away, for the 75th anniversary of Batman, he put together a Batman Beyond short. And even though the Joker's not in it, I absolutely love what Kevin did with the voice, because I can't stop smiling every time he ends up smiling. So in this short, it's him and Terry as Batman Beyond, and obviously Terry's voiced by Will Friedle. And he ends up on, old Bruce ends up on the floor, and he just says, "Batmobile, ignition." And when he says ignition, Batman has like the biggest, cheesiest grin on his face. And I'm like, oh, that is so good.
Yeah, I agree. It was rather nice seeing him take on that role again and play it. I honestly, I could do with more Kevin Conroy.
Yep. Absolutely. So that's our top 10 favorite portrayals of Batman, our top 10 favorite Batman actors. For anyone listening to this, what are your top 10 favorite Batman actors. You can comment on the post on the website. You can shoot us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put Studio 2009 Top 10 Batman in the subject line. You can reach out to us on Twitter at It's Studio 2009, or you can get myself at TF2 and Mike. He is at SCP21. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates we do. Anything you want to say before we get the heck out of here, dude?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. I lost my train of thought. Great.
His train kept on rolling.
Yeah, it's careening off the tracks at this point. Ugh, it's so sad. Just please edit all this out. Oh my god. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
In a world, there, I said it, happy.